This place is a mess. Well, I kind of got a sense when I was sharing with the children about how you feel about this, but really, how do you feel about house cleaning? A lot of down thumbs there. I'd be honest. You know, in life, I've actually met people who like it, who find it very uplifting and enjoyable, but I don't understand their enthusiasm at all. I don't get it. But, you know, since I've been here, I've learned a few things about house cleaning from some of you. For example, if you ever need help vacuuming your home, Kent Rapley is a whiz with central vacuuming. He's fantastic. I found some online tweets about house cleaning that I think we can all appreciate. Someone tweeted this. I get this one. My house was clean, and then my kids woke up. Another one wrote, I have discovered the secret to a clean house. Never let your children or husband come in. I'm sure you've pondered this thought. Why can't the house clean itself? It seems to get dirty by itself. Someone else tweeted, cleaning your house while your kids are still growing up is like shoveling the walk when it's still snowing. I get that one. And I really agree with this person. This is the best of them all. Said, I'm not into spring cleaning. Come to think of it, I'm not into summer cleaning, fall cleaning, or winter cleaning. I get that one. I'm talking about cleaning our houses today because it's Advent. Yikes, I said it. It's Advent. That's really the proper liturgical explanation or formulation for this season. Yikes, it's Advent. Advent is a call to get our house in order. Our frustration exhibited in our exclamation, yikes, it's Advent, is an admission that no matter how closely we observe or pay attention to the calendar, no matter how much we follow the development of the Christian year, all of a sudden, December's upon us, and we're surprised that Advent is here. It always seems to come too early, doesn't it? Too early is our normal greeting for this time of year. It's just too early. I'm not ready. It can't be this time of year, we opine. And who knows what opine actually means? It seems fitting for the season, doesn't it? And we're not talking about greenery. We're just not ready. We got too much to do. Our lists keep growing longer and longer. Our accomplishments seem to go fewer and fewer. For everything we cross off our to-do list, what happens? A whole bunch more seem to end up on that list. I think the whole legend of elves comes from this not being ready thing. People found their Christmas list, their to-do list growing before their eyes, and they hoped that elves would show up to help them get it done. Who's doing all this adding to our list? It must be the elves. We're just not ready. We're not. That's precisely why we need Advent. The creators of the Christian calendar knew that we all needed to get a swift kick to get the new year of the church started. So it begins with a call to get ready, because we aren't ready. Worse than that, we've forgotten that there's anything to get ready for. Or we thought that we were supposed to be getting ready for a celebration of the past. We are preparing for a historical observation of something that God did many, many years ago. Now, we're grateful for it. We are still defined by it. We still try to live differently because of it. But it is, to most extent in our lives, just old news. It's kind of like we've been there, we've done that. When it comes right down to it, doesn't it? Or is it? What is it that we are waiting for, you and I? What are we looking for at this time of year? The first reading that we had for this Sunday of Advent reminds us that what we are longing for, you and I, is not a historical remembrance, but we are looking for a new reality. We're looking for a fresh, new encounter with the living God. And this new encounter, it can be shocking. It can wake us up from overlooking what is really happening around us. I kind of had some fun with the kids today talking about a common childhood experience. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, has had it. You as a child, no doubt, were sent to your room to do what? Clean it up. And if you were anything like me, you remember your first thought when you walked in the door to your bedroom and flopped on the bed. Well, it looks fine to me. Never mind that there was a pile of dirty clothes on top of the floor. There was a big pile of papers teetering on the edge of the desk that you could barely see over. There might have been a banana peel on the floor somewhere or an apple core. There's that eaten bag of chips left over from a few days ago. Looks fine to me. Maybe it's just clean enough, we think. But we know in our hearts it isn't. Or maybe it's like eating supper with your family and looking forward to that pie or that cake that's sitting on the counter to be indulged in. But you gotta get through the yucky vegetables on your plate first. What excitement this season brings, though. Certainly, we've done it many times before. The rituals are kind of set in stone for us. The expectations are ripe and the patterns seem to continually unroll before us. There's something in this Advent season that brings forth the kid in all of us. We all lean into that hope. So let the excitement grow. Let the buzz be felt. But is our place ready? Are our hearts ready? You know, as adults, we know that there's a lot of work to do before the season can really get going. We know that. As excited as we get at Advent, we know it just doesn't just happen. We have to prepare. This year, to help us prepare, we together are emphasizing community in this Advent worship series. And today we're talking about company is coming. And our goal is to emphasize hospitality and inclusion. Our questions need to be throughout this season, how will we welcome the Christ who come? But also, how will we welcome our neighbors and family who come to be among us? So what is the situation for us that we are preparing for? We all know that even for those who have a religious impulse, even though it might be minimal, there is something about this time of year that brings people out. And so this is our chance, you and I, to make connections, to go all out welcoming neighbors and strangers alike. And so throughout this season, we'll be asking our leadership team to pay attention to not just what happens in the sanctuary, but also what is going on. We need to be conscious about what's happening at the front door in the fellowship areas. Here is an opportunity for all of us to remember that worship is not just the hour that we set aside on a weekly basis. Worship is a way of life for a community of faith. So if we want to be a welcoming company, where do we start? We start by asking or taking an honest look at our own space. It's a place we've become used to, isn't it? But would people who are coming from outside in our community see this place as we see it? would they have the same sense of appreciation that we do? You know, I'm sure most of you have seen those Febreze commercials. Have you seen those things for air fresheners? And they say, have you become nose blind? Have you seen that? People who are so used to the smells around them, they no longer seem unpleasant to them. Have you seen that commercial? Have we become blind too? This year, we've already decorated the sanctuary, and maybe, I don't think so, but maybe we've used some of them to hide up a little bit of the flaws. You know, we do that at home, don't we? We put a Christmas display in front of a crack in the wall or something like that. Let's not just cover up the mess. Let's get rid of the mess before we make the space ready to receive guests. I'm not talking really about the makeover of the sanctuary. I think you understand that, right? But it's a call for us to ask questions about the space in which we are now together in. Maybe it's time for adding a little bit of interpretation to the traditional symbols that fill this place. Do we do a little research and find out, well, what's the historical meaning of having a tree? Or having greenery around? What in the world do the lights and wreaths represent? Maybe we could use PowerPoint to explain things. Maybe we let people know that the decorations aren't just there because they're beautiful, although they certainly are, but because they have meaning. The decorations proclaim the faith as assuredly as the sermons and the hymns. So let them speak. Look at the worship order before the season begins. What is there that might need some explanation for someone who doesn't regularly come and worship with us? What do we need to do that even we have forgotten why we do it? Maybe we need to stop that activity, or maybe we need to take a fresh interpretation of what it is we are doing. We need to take some time for reflection, time to see what we, or see through the eyes of someone who's not here all the time. Wouldn't it be brave to go out into Simcoe sometime and say, hey, I know you don't belong to our congregation. I know that. Would you mind coming and having a look around? Sitting through a service and giving us your honest opinion of what you've experienced? Now, we'd have to be prepared, wouldn't we? The responses might be sobering. They might be surprising. They might be shocking. Because you and I, we got to learn to look beyond the mask. Advent, though, is also a penitential season. Most people forget that. Which means we aren't just preparing our external space to receive the guest and our guests. We're also preparing our internal space for the reception of the biggest guest of all. Worship, therefore, needs to include both times of reflection and acts of repentance. We did that this morning. Spoken and sung prayers of confession can be accompanied by times of prayer in the pews and give space for an invitation for new commitments. We begin the season of Advent by acknowledging our need to clean our houses. That's us. Clean us. Because company's coming. Isaiah comes along and asks us to take another look at our living space. Like our mom, Isaiah stands at the door and tells us, hey, company's coming. And would you just look at the squalor you're living in? I don't think my mom ever used squalor, but she got close. What would happen, the old prophet shouts, if the one you claim to be waiting for were to show up today? What if the one you want to come home tore open the door right here, right now, and charged into this room? What then? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, Isaiah cried out. We know you are present, Our faith tells us, oh God, that you are here. But we need to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Shake us up, the prophet says, so that we can be certain again that you are here with us. Because you know what? Over time, we begin to wonder, don't we? We begin to doubt. So do it again, God. Come and shake us up. This is where our historical observance comes in. This is where telling the story over and over again becomes so important. Not just so that we can look back and with a sigh and long for the good old days. Not so we can wishfully wish for the blessing that they had way back when, but so we can recognize it when it comes to us today. That's the task of Advent. To pay attention to what is and what might be. Not simply to look back at what was. When Isaiah wrote, the people of God were in exile. The foundations of their nation had been totally shaken. The comforts that they had taken for granted were taken away from them. The human institutions that they had constructed no longer held any power or any meaning or any security in their lives. So they began to look elsewhere. And they realized how shaky their faith really was. They needed a boost. And so they look back. And then they look forward at the same time. The mountains of our society were shaken, so shake the mountains, O Lord, Isaiah said. The foundations of our nation are so shaken, so shake the nation, O God. The people Isaiah spoke to, well, they needed an Advent upside the head. We remember, they claimed. We remember how you used to deal with us. We want that again. We want to remember as you remember. The words that Isaiah uses seems like they're trying to remind God, but really, they were just reminding themselves. The look back was not to just give them warm feelings about what was once was, but a way to spur them to living differently now. Advent is a reminder to get us out of our sense of complacency. And though it's hard to be complacent when things are difficult in our lives, when all is going well, when we need that's when we really need the 2x4 of Advent to come and wake us up. When things are difficult, we use Advent as a prayer, a reminder to hope. Believe it or not, that's the call of Jesus in this passage for this week, the gospel lesson. It's a call to hope. We sometimes must listen hard to hear something hopeful in these descriptions that he lays out for us. But here it is. It is underneath sometimes, but it's still there. Are you nervous? Well, yes, there's much to do, isn't there? There's a deadline to meet. But there's still a promise. A promise that the Master is near. Not as a threat, a promise. We are not alone, you and I. What we see in front of us is not all that there is. History is going somewhere. We may not know exactly, except that it's someplace called the kingdom of heaven, or as Jesus was fond to describe it, life. That is what we are longing for in the end, isn't it? Life. Life in all its fullness, all its meaning. Life in all its joy and all its promise. That's what's coming for you and me. That's what's been promised. And we forget every now and then, don't we? We forget that we are looking for anything at all. That we are hoping for anything. Until Advent comes and knocks us upside the head with a not so subtle reminder. And then we look and we see what a mess we've been living in. And we need to do something about it. Because company is coming.